This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to All About Living. Always a pleasure to have you with us. And this segment is brought to you by The Medicine Shop Monona, caring beyond prescriptions, and Independent Living, your connection to an independent life. I'm Carol Colby, and I, along with all of you, know that we're absolutely immersed in the election season right now, and it's not too long before we actually go to the polls. And you're going to want to stay tuned to our program today, because if you have the desire to be part of an informed electorate, you're going to enjoy and need to hear what we're going to discuss today. And it's not one of the usual things you're hearing a lot about. And so this is one of the opportunities you'll be able to learn more about it. But before we get into our discussion and I introduce my wonderful guests to you, let me remind you that in the midst of this political season, we're hearing a lot about health care, and particularly the new health care legislation, whether it's government takeover or not, and all kinds of misunderstandings and distortions are being said about it. And all I ask you to do is basically kind of ignore what you're seeing in the political campaign announcements. And if you will go to healthcare.gov, and that is the site that, in very, very readable language, it's not tedious at all, you will get an overview and a description of the Affordable Care Act, which is the healthcare reform legislation. A senior program editor of Consumer Reports states that this was written by somebody who actually cares about the consumer understanding it. And it is a wonderful site. It's kind of fun to read, and you can click on what's important to you. And there's been some issues regarding colonoscopies and other preventive services. And let me tell you, if you're on Medicare and a senior, you're really right at the top as far as a priority of getting those kinds of services. Because for the first time ever, beginning January 1st, 2011, seniors will have included as part of their basic Medicare, not the supplemental or any other additional coverage you have, but part of your basic Medicare, you will have preventative screenings and services and an annual wellness exam. So if the issue of colonoscopy or mammograms or any of the other tests that are part of normal screenings for good health are of concern to you, seniors, you're right in line to begin to receive those. The rest of us, or the rest of people under the Medicare age, will probably have to wait until 2014. It will be rolled in over that period of time. But insurance policies are beginning to include them, and many of you have those services included already. But go to healthcare.gov and read all about it. And then if you want to see what the state of Wisconsin is doing, how it fits into the puzzle of healthcare, you can go to healthcare reform, all one word, healthcarereform.wisconsin.gov, and you will see the coverage that the state of Wisconsin offers and also how it works together with the new healthcare reform legislation. Be informed, make your decisions based on the facts, and that's all I ask you to do. And now we're going to learn a lot of facts about something else you're going to find when you go to the polls on November 2nd. There is a referendum that you're going to be asked to vote on, and it's regarding Madison College, known in our former days as Madison Area Technical College, and it is still known as that, but moving more to be called Madison College. And we'll find out the thinking behind that from our guests, and they are Betsy Barhorst. And Betsy Barhorst was appointed president of Madison Area Technical College here in Madison, Madison College, in November of 2004. Hardly seems it's been all these years. It just seems like you're the new kid on the block, Betsy. But prior to being named president here, you were president at Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo, Iowa, and also served in leadership positions at Bradley University and Illinois Central College in Peoria, Illinois, and at Webster University in Geneva, Switzerland. How fun. And how really expansive to get a kind of a more global perspective on education. It had to be very helpful to you. You did get your PhD from Illinois State University in Educational Administration and Foundations, particularly as they relate to higher education. So welcome. It's just a pleasure to have you here. I know it's a very, very busy time for you. And joining you is Terry Webb. And Terry, well, let me give you a little bit of a background on his academic credentials. Terry earned a bachelor's degree in history from St. Norbert College in 1976, and then went on and graduated from University of Wisconsin Law School with a Doctor of Law degree. And if that wasn't enough, after practicing law for a few years, went back to school again. So I think you can tell us what it's like to go to school and from all these different institutions and what the experiences, the goods and bads, you know, the good news and the bad news. But you received a master's in business administration at the University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh. You did many things with those degrees in the academic profession. And finally, so we can move on and get to our subject, you currently are the Vice President for Learner Success at Madison College. And welcome to both of you. I have to start with you, Terry. What does a Vice President for Learner Success do? I've never heard that title in an academic framework before. It's wonderful.
It's the most important thing that we do at the college is promote the success of our students. So my title reflects that central mission of the college. And in other colleges, I might be called the provost or the vice president for academic affairs. So I'm responsible for all the academic programming at the college.
Okay. But when you say success, is that a broader umbrella, success not only academically, but success in fitting into society and finding work? And being able to afford to raise a family and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. At its base, the college exists to promote a higher quality of life for all the people that attend.
And Betsy, please, before we go into the referendum that the voters of Wisconsin, or at least in your district, are going to be able to relate to and make a decision on November 2nd, Madison College, Madison Area Technical College. What is the difference and why the new emphasis on Madison College?
Sure. We are Madison Area Technical College. We have been here for almost 100 years. However, during that time, we have had six different names. But we've had Madison Area Technical College since the 60s. And we like to keep that name. We like our name. However, because we've been called the acronym MATC, there is a lot of confusion with the other MATC in this state, which is Milwaukee Area Technical College, who apparently used the letters first. And so the reason that we prefer a shortened version, it being Madison College or Mad College or something like that, rather than the letters, is simply to keep the difference between the two schools.
And your education programs that you offer are beyond just technical education.
Sure. Absolutely. We are a community college by any definition, although in Wisconsin we're under the technical college system. And what that means is that approximately half of what we do is our traditional technical college, and that is the purpose to put people to work. But the other half has to do with the arts and sciences for transfer. And maybe Terry could talk about that.
Sure. There are several focuses that you do have, and Betsy just mentioned transfer education, but on the list that I have of what Madison Area Technical College or Madison College covers, there's career education, developmental, continuing, industry training. Explain those briefly.
Yeah, we are a comprehensive technical and community college, so we try and provide a whole array of services to the students that come to us. So we do a college transfer education. We have roughly 11,000 students enrolled in our transfer programming right now. Many of those students are also enrolled in our technical training courses because the college is not in the business of dead-ending its students. So we want every student that comes to us for an education, whether it's in transfer or technical fields, to be able to further their education if they choose to do so later. We also have a large investment in developmental education. We have several thousand students that are studying everything from adult basic education all the way up to the courses that directly prepare people to enter college. We also have lots of offerings in English as a second language, which is now called English Language Learner. And we do outreach education in the community as well. We train incumbent workers in their workplace in a customized fashion. And we also offer some kind of hobby courses and some kind of other continuing education, lifelong learning courses.
I know that there are many students who find it a very comfortable process for them after they graduate from high school to go to Madison College for a year or two first before transferring to the University of Wisconsin system. And this is a pathway to success for them that they perhaps would not achieve as well had they not had the first two years experience at Madison College.
Yeah, so we have the college is set up in so that we can offer small classes so that the students can really get to know their teachers. Mm-hmm. We have sophisticated advising services to help people negotiate what can be the maze of higher education. We have excellent partnerships with the University of Wisconsin and the University of Wisconsin in Madison and Whitewater in particular. So lots of students are coming to us more and more often to start their first 2 years of college education.
How many students attend Madison College, and what is the breadth of your coverage area?
About 40,000 students attend.
So that's very similar to our University of Wisconsin-Madison. They're low 40s.
That's correct, although many of our students are part-time. And so so that would be a difference. Our district covers parts of 12 counties. So most of Dane and the contiguous counties around it.
And let's get into what you're asking the voters to do. There is a referendum, and I can't imagine that you haven't given it great thought. Come to the table together in making the decision that this, what we're asking the voters to approve, needs to be done now. In this particular environment of the economy and jobs and the very loud and volatile election season that it's turning out to be, you wouldn't just on a lark go to the voters and ask them to do something to support you.
No.
So we don't even need to go there of the thought and care that's gone into this request. Mm-hmm. So tell us what that will be.
Sure. The referendum is a part of our facilities master plan, the funding of it. It's not the whole plan. We've worked on that plan for 5 years. And this is the next step to fund it. But we determined that we could only ask voters for what we absolutely had to at this time. We've not gone to the voters since 1974, so we really do take this very seriously.
You take a long time to think it
that's
out.
That's right. And so what we believe that we really need right now to help put people back to work, to help get rid of waiting lists, to help spur the economy in this area, is about 130. It is 133 million. I think there's also 770,000 in there, mm-hmm. but I try to say 133.7
million.
So $1 million, which sounds like a lot, and is indeed a lot. But again, as I just mentioned before, we cover 12 counties, parts of 12 counties. And so that's spread out a lot. And so, for example, for the typical home in the average home in Madison is rated at about $245,000. And so for that property owner, this would be about $33 a year. Or, the way I like to put it, $2.75 a month.
Well, $33 a year, that's a couple of pizzas with not a very generous tip.
Yeah, good point. And not many toppings.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. And actually,
I like to always put it in and go, yeah, figure out, well, what does that mean? You know, what I would know. I spend that kind of money on?
Right.
That
but we try not to be light about this because it is important to
Absolutely.
People. And but what we also can say is that we've had economic impact studies done, one by the Taxpayers Alliance, one recently done by a national company that does community colleges across the whole United States. And both of them have come out that for approximately every dollar of taxes, people get back about $4 in value. And so we try to say that that's really a good investment because we know
it's an investment rather than spending money, but it's
that's
an investment
right.
of your money for,
that's
a,
right.
for a positive return. We're going to find out more about what this plan includes, what major projects are high priorities for you, and why they need to be done now. We need to stop for a break, and we'll be back with Betsy Barhorst, who's president of Madison College, and Terry Webb, who is vice president for learner success at Madison College. And after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and stay tuned.
This is All About Living with Carol Kobe, Madison 1670 WTDY.
We're back with our program. This segment is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center, and Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. I'm Carol Kobe, and joined today by Betsy Barhorst, who's the president of Madison College. You may know it as Madison Area Technical College. Same thing, same place. And Terry Webb, who is the vice president for Learner Success. And on November 2nd, you're going to be asked to go to the polls to vote on many things, many people. And one of the things you are going to see on the ballot, if you live in the 12-county region that covers the Madison College District, is a referendum to approve $133.7 million for the public purpose of paying the cost of capital expenditures for Madison College. And let me just quickly, I'm going to go through it real fast, read what the resolution is so you get a familiarity to the language. Be it resolved by the District Board of the Madison Area Technical College District, Adams, Columbia, Dane, Dodge, Green, Iowa, Jefferson, Juneau, Marquette, Richland, Rock, and Sauk Counties, Wisconsin, that there shall be issued pursuant to Chapter 67 of the Wisconsin Statutes, general obligation bonds in an amount not to exceed $133,770,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of capital expenditures included in the campus master plan, consisting of acquiring and improving sites, constructing new buildings and facilities, adding to, upgrading, remodeling, and improving existing buildings, and acquiring furnishings, fixtures, and equipment. Terry Webb, explain what that list of what you're going to do really means, how it translates in services that are needed now for students and for jobs.
Thank you. The entire master plan specifies about $380 million in upgrades. So we took some time to prioritize what we felt that the college really needed now, really needed right away. And we came up with six areas of priority. The first, and at the top of the list, is a new health services education center and clinic. We know that the health occupations are the fastest growing occupations in our service district. They are now, and they are projected to be for the next 10 years at least. About 3 years ago, we were being lobbied heavily to reduce our wait list in the health careers and to put more resources into educating students in that area. Then the recession came, and folks stopped retiring in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. But we expect them to start retiring again as soon as the recession goes away. So we have a lot of support for this building from our healthcare professionals and in this area.
What kind of positions would people train for?
We train people to be registered nurses. We train people to be practical nurses, nursing assistants, medical assistants, clinical lab technicians, medical coding specialists, radiologists, respiratory therapists, physical therapy assistants. So we really train the entry-level and middle-skilled jobs in the healthcare career professions.
And actually, when you look at where healthcare is going, the future of healthcare, with this new front-end emphasis on prevention and early treatment, these are the kinds of positions, because there'll be an increasing number of people who will now have access through insurance opportunities to have these services available to them. And this is where healthcare is moving. So you catch it early, it costs less, and you have a better quality of life.
That's exactly correct. We have the longest wait list at our college. We have many wait lists. We have the longest wait list in our health career programs now. Some of those are actually measured in years. If we built this facility, we'd be able to chip away at some of those wait lists and serve roughly 350 more students.
That's just amazing. And you need to build this building, and you need to put this kind of money into it to be up to date, to provide the training needed so that's current for today's times?
Yes, we do. Our health career programs are now kind of scattered around different campus buildings, and we kind of stick our programs into spaces as we find them and create them. And this would unite all our health care faculty in one place. We would build a virtual hospital in this building, which would simulate a real hospital, and allow for all those folks that are being trained in the various careers I mentioned earlier to work together, mm-hmm. just like they do in a regular healthcare workplace.
And I imagine mm-hmm. equipment necessary today, it's all getting more sophisticated, and you've got to have the equipment there to be able to train them on how to use them, how to use it, and what to do.
Mm-hmm. The use of simulation is really growing in healthcare education. These are very sophisticated, robot-like mannequins mm-hmm. That students can practice on so that when they are learning how to do a procedure, they can do so without the risk of injuring, you know, a real person. So one of the big barriers to increasing healthcare education is the lack of clinical facilities. And this simulation will help us remedy that to some extent.
Well, I know every mm-hmm. educational institution that offers healthcare education, particularly nursing, they've got the waiting list is so long, and the need for nurses is so great. And even Donna Shalala now has gotten mm-hmm. on board, and she was here to talk about that need and the increasing role of nurses, because we're going as to try to increase the opportunity for people to get more primary and preventive care. And so you're right in step with the future of what healthcare is going to look. Okay, we could talk just about that for the hour, but I want to move on mm-hmm. into some of the other areas. Protective services and EMS upgrades, that's another area.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the college really does not have any dedicated facilities for its protective services training. We have made do with the facilities that we have had for decades now. These are important facilities because they train the folks that protect us every day. We've trained about 9,000 police, firefighters, and EMS professionals over the last 5 years. And we train almost all of those professionals in this district. So this is very, very much central to why the college exists, training protective services professionals. And
You need a separate mm-hmm. facility, or where is this training going mm-hmm. on now?
Right now it's scattered around. Mm-hmm. We have two of our programs at the new West Campus. But that West Campus is a converted office building. It is not a protective services training facility. So we are limited in what we can do there. And we are hoping to modernize our training facilities so that we can centralize them in one place. So the three disciplines can work together as they're expected to do.
Police, fire, and EMS.
Correct.
Right.
correct?
And you're going to have an upgraded fire burn tower for the fire.
Yes,
fire training.
Yes, we have a burn tower off our Truex campus site, and believe it or not, if you keep lighting something on fire often enough, it actually deteriorates to the point where you have to replace it. And we're actually well past that point right now. We also want to build an emergency vehicle operations course, and that is at a site yet to be located. But our district does not have that facility. Most of the other technical college districts do have that facility. And that trains police officers, firefighters, ambulance drivers, any kind of emergency vehicle operators to safely operate their vehicles in the course of the business.
And all of these educational opportunities and centers that you need translate directly. It's a straight line to jobs.
Yes, absolutely.
And is there an increasing need for these jobs in the future, today and tomorrow?
Well, the same situation exists in most of our occupations that exists in healthcare, in that the population is aging, and as that aging continues to occur, people retire and they will need to be replaced. And this district is no different than the rest of the state in that regard. So we anticipate a lot of replacement jobs in protective services. We also anticipate more demand for paramedics. Paramedics is the highest level of emergency medical services training. Those of us that live in the rural areas of our district know that paramedics serve more or less as the emergency room for those folks. So we anticipate a greater need for paramedics, especially in the outlying areas of our district.
You know, another thing I'd like to add about the protective services is that virtually every person who is involved in those careers has to continually do more training and retraining. And so that's another reason why we need a better center with the updated equipment for them to do that. One example I might give is the hybrid vehicles. That are becoming more and more common. Hybrid vehicles not only need different training from our advanced manufacturing, just how to fix them, but in the protective services, they need specialized training because a hybrid vehicle has electrical system that can hurt not only the victims in a crash, but the emergency workers who come to take care of that. So we have actually been around the district giving numerous workshops on for protective services people how to deal with the hybrid cars.
So without this, without this training, theoretically, an emergency service worker could go there not knowing, not being trained in the hybrid and the electrical risks, and everybody could be electrocuted if you didn't know how to work it right.
That's what we are told.
Yes.
So I just wanted to add that part to another reason why the protective services is so important. And the place where they are now is a rental because there was an empty building, and we try to use that kind of thing whenever possible. However, that lease is only another 6 years, actually another 5.5 years now.
So. Okay, well, we need to stop again, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the priorities that are included in this referendum asking for $133.7 million to improve so many areas at Madison College and to make education available to a larger and longer waiting list of people. We've talked about health careers, protective services, and EMS upgrades. There are going to be regional campus upgrades, transportation and green manufacturing. We want to talk about that. Repairs and campus safety and other systems that need to be improved. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and we'll be back right after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Kolbe, Madison 1670, WTDY.
We're back with our program, and this segment is brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here online at homehealthunited.org. And if you need your flu shot, they're a special friend to you at this particular time. They have flu shot clinics open all over the community, and so you want to check with Home Health United if you need a place to go to get your flu shot. Don't forget to do that. Our guest today, I'm so pleased to have with me, Betsy Barhorst, who's the president of Madison College, and Terry Webb, who is the vice president for Learner Success. And I think that's going to be my new goal. I want to achieve a position where I can have vice president for Learner Success or Success in Something. What a great title. And we're talking about the referendum that you will find on the ballot on November 2nd, which is asking you to support $133.7 million towards Madison College's improvement and addition of services and educational opportunities in many areas and for students that are on this current longer waiting list to enter the school. We've talked about the health careers as being one of the fastest growing areas where jobs are going to be needed in the future, and you plan to build a new health services building, and that's going to include robotic training and virtual training within clinical settings and an actual kind of hospital setting where everybody works together as in the real world. And also protective services and EMS upgrades, which covers police training, fire training, and EMS workers. And there are so many new technologies that you need to have the upgraded equipment to properly train people to be able to actually function in the reality of the world today. Another area is transportation and green manufacturing. We haven't talked about that. And Terry, can you explain what that level of training is?
Yes. When the college was built, the design for the Truax building was made anyway in 1974. Manufacturing was a completely different business than it is now. People ask us why we want to invest in manufacturing when the number of jobs seems to be declining. It is, and it's true, the number of jobs in manufacturing has declined, but manufacturing still remains the backbone of our local economy. It is still, along with healthcare, the largest supplier of family-supporting jobs in our district. And we know that we want to support our manufacturing partners so that they are able to compete in what they all know now is a global marketplace for manufacturing.
Well, manufacturing, though, is changing. It's not the manufacturing that we had here yesterday or years ago, but it's, and I suspect by using the word green manufacturing, that suggests that this is it's a new field.
Yes, the green manufacturing means sustainability. So manufacturing processes have to be designed so that they are the most efficient that they can possibly be, so that there is little or no waste involved in the processes. And they also have to be customized because we're no longer in the age of mass manufacturing in this area anyway. Most of that work has indeed gone overseas. Where we are now is a much more customized environment so that the manufacturing process actually starts from the design of a product, and our manufacturing employees need to know how to set up the robotics and the other technology to make that design a reality in a product. They also need to know how to tell whether or not they're meeting quality parameters and within very, very slight tolerances now. So the environment is a much different environment than it was in 1974 when we designed the Truax building. People work together in teams. And our employees, the manufacturing employees, need a broad range of skills in order to add value to their employers' enterprises.
Well, it's quite a sophisticated education that people going into green manufacturing will receive and will require. High level of technical ability, and it's just not the same as putting a screw in and turning it and then doing that same screw on another piece of equipment that's going down a transporter belt.
Very much mathematically oriented, engineering oriented, even especially in this district, scientifically based. So,
well, what this suggests is there's hope for manufacturing and the growth of manufacturing as well. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to really throw that concept out as we look to where jobs are going to be and where our economy is going to be in the future. It's going to be there. It's just going to look and be a little different and require additional education than what people have perhaps received in the past.
Right. And we need to redo our facilities so that they simulate these real-life manufacturing environments that are in existence today.
Will you need any new building, or are you going to take existing facilities and
We'll take existing facilities for the most part, but we are adding another wing to the Truax building to help with both the manufacturing and the transportation expansion that we're planning.
Okay. And you have campuses in all of these regions. It's 12 counties. Explain your campuses, Betsy, how many campuses you have, and then the upgrades that you're looking at that you feel are absolutely mandatory right now.
Actually, we have 9 campuses, 5 in the Madison area, and then 4 in the regions. And that is in 4 different small cities. Fort Atkinson, Watertown, Reedsburg, and Portage all have campuses and have for a number of years. And they all need some new classrooms, new labs, particularly science labs and learning centers. And their enrollment has been increasing, the same as our enrollment overall at the college. In the last 5 years, we've gone up 22%. And I like to note that was before the recession and will be after the recession, simply because of new needs for training. And so they've increased in enrollment same as the Madison area. So there is some funds put into the referendum for each of those areas.
Why now? Why do you need to do that? Why can't you make do?
Good point. Why can't? Because, of course, if people were really smart, if we were really smart, this is not when we would run this referendum.
Exactly. I mean,
if we've waited 36 years, for sure, we could wait some more years.
Right.
All right. We are about jobs. We're about success, as we already mentioned, but that mostly means jobs for people. Our graduates, even in the last survey we took, which would have been last spring, 89% of our graduates were employed 6 months out of school. That's not bad. We know that there are jobs available. They just don't always have the right people trained for those jobs, and so predicted that across the country, if the jobs available and the training people trained for those would get together, that the unemployment rate would drop about 2.5% across the country just because of that. So this is important. And these are jobs that support families. And family-supporting jobs, then, are the kinds that provide people who can buy at the different companies and different stores. And then those people need more workers. And so we see this as our own local stimulus package, almost, to get things going. So that's a reason for now. There's another one, is that because we're always aware of what does this cost the taxpayer, that we know that right now is good value. For all of our remodeling and upgrading and updating. Construction costs are low, and so are interest rates, probably the lowest they're going to be. And so this is a very good time to save taxpayers' money, because ultimately we will have to do this if we continue to train people, if we try to shorten those waiting lists for people who want new careers, who need new careers. We're going to have to do this.
For people who could be working if they were just trained for the position that is available to them.
That's
so
correct.
With today's low interest rates and the construction costs, you're getting, more bang for your buck.
That's right. That's right. So those are the reasons why we feel that it's so important now, even though, as I said, it would be nice to choose another time, perhaps.
What kind of waiting lists do you have now?
Terry can give the exact numbers, but I'm told that we have, first of all, I need to say that we have over 140 different programs. People aren't usually aware that, and that's in addition to arts and sciences, which I believe we've already mentioned is almost half of the students of what they're studying. So 140 programs, and of those, maybe 60%?
65% have waitlists.
65%. Mm-hmm.
So you can't even get into the program if you're on the wait list. You can't start the program at all.
And right. What? And how long is the wait typically? Is there an average?
Well, for nursing, it's years. For others, you have to wait 1 year or a semester. It's hard to do an average because it's so variable. Yeah.
And I read somewhere that you said 89% of your graduates get jobs within 6 months. And I read it's even a higher figure of how many of those turn out to be workers in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. Most of those.
It was over 90%.
Students. That's right.
And 96% is the survey that we did.
That's so incredible.
So virtually all will stay in Wisconsin, but even in our district, over 80% will be staying in our district, for the rest of their lives. We train, we help the people here, and that's what we're about. That's why we're the community's college.
And part of this is also going to include repairs and upgrades for the Madison campus at Truex, which is your big facility. And we'll talk about that right after we come back from these messages. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. Our guests are Betsy Barhorse, president of Madison College, Terry Webb, vice president for learner success at Madison College. And we'll be back with our guests after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670, WTDY.
We're back with our final minutes of All About Living today. Our guests, Betsy Barhorse, president of Madison College, Terry Webb, vice president for Learner Success. We're talking about the referendum that will be on the November 2nd ballot for $133.7 million that Madison College needs to provide new health services facilities, protective services facilities, green manufacturing facilities, and upgrades and repairs, a new science center at the Madison campus. There are campuses and educational opportunities available throughout the district, which includes 12 counties. That is the reach. And if you want more information, because we are just touching the iceberg of this really critical issue in education, go to matcmadison.edu, and there's lots of information there. And if you want to have anybody else hear this program or download it, go to carolcobyradio.com. Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y radio.com, and you will be able to download this program or listen to it again or tell somebody else about it so that they can listen at their own convenience. So we're looking at education, and then I talk about healthcare, going to healthcare.gov to learn about the healthcare reform legislation. To me, the common sense is if you have a nation of healthy people who are educated, how can you lose over the long term? And now we're talking about the educational opportunities that Madison College offers and the need right now for you to have these funds. Betsy, why right now?
Right now, because this is critical. This is the time when people need not only training for jobs, but upgrading in the training that they're doing. We opened a whole new center for adult learning just for people who have lost jobs. And actually, we'll be presenting on it nationally next week in two different venues simply because of how poignant the story is that we can tell about what we're doing for people who need training or retraining.
And are they already showing results? Are they getting jobs?
They are getting jobs, but not all. And part of that is because one of our goals there is to aim people toward further training, because in just 6 months, we can't always take a person from one job and put them into another job. Much of that training takes more time. But at our Center for Adult Learning, we actually have almost a triage system. From the time someone walks in that door, someone is with them, a counselor from workforce development or from the college is with them until they are on their way either to a training, short-term training, or for longer training.
Terry, tell me what's going to be happening if the vote is yes on this referendum and you achieve the money that you need for the Madison campus at Truex.
Two important things on the Madison campus at Truex. One, the most important thing is to construct a student achievement center. We've invested a lot of resources into supporting our students in the last 10 years in particular. The way that our financing goes, those were are located in different pockets of the building. So if you need help with writing, you have to find where the writing center is on the first floor. But if you need help with math, you have to go up to the third floor and find the classroom associated with that. And the support services are really scattered all around the building, and so it's actually quite difficult for students to locate the service that they need. So what we want to do is combine all of them and make a place in the front of the building as students enter the building so that they can have ready access to these crucial support services that the college offers. The other priority is to build a natural sciences education center. Every single one of our natural sciences courses that are used to support our health career programs in biology and chemistry and anatomy and physiology is completely full at all locations that we offer them, everywhere in the district. There is no more room for that. So we need to create some more rooms for that. And we also need to put all our science-related programming together because sciences also stand on their own. They're not just supporting the health careers. There are a lot of industries in our region that are science-based, and they cannot grow without folks that really know how to work in a lab, the lab technicians. That's the infrastructure that's going to support that rising industry in that area. So we want to make an investment in science education as well.
We just have a couple minutes left. What if the referendum does not pass? What will you do? What will happen?
We have to have these facilities to serve the people who need them in our community. So therefore, we'll have to keep trying until we can find a way.
So you're not going away?
No, because it's our mission is the success of our people. And so we can't just give up.
What about federal funding or raising tuitions?
We can't raise tuition. That is done by the state. That's one point about that. The other is that the people that we want to serve, we don't serve them well by charging more when they are having difficulty getting by anyway. So tuition is not the answer, and tuition doesn't pay for the whole thing either.
And the referendum is on the back of the ballot, I understand.
The back of the ballot.
And you want people to vote?
To support the question is yes.
Yes, to vote yes. And average in Madison, it's cost you $2.74 a month on your tax bill.
That's right.
About $33 a year.
Yes.
And so that is a small cost to provide educational opportunities, in my opinion, for so many people who need it, and our economy needs it, our state needs it. And we thank you, Betsy Barhorst and Terry Witt, for coming and talking to us about this important educational initiative. You've been listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY, matcmadison.edu to find out more about Madison College's referendum, which you'll find on the November 2nd ballot. Now go out. I'm Carol Colby, and have a great rest of the weekend.